Good morning, church. A lot of cool stuff, some stuff to celebrate. College football is in the air. Whoo, by the hair of our chinny chin chin, right? Hey, at least you prayed yesterday, right? You prayed, didn't you? You did. You did. Hey, some good stuff to celebrate. Month of August, 10 new members in our church in the month of August put their hands in the pile and said we want to be all in to follow Jesus. Amen. The Not Here Yet project, which has been several things in particular, it's been a remodel of our facilities, is coming into reality, and so we're very excited about that. The advancements and improvements hopefully we're making for the glory of Jesus. I want to remind you of a couple things that are on the verge of happening that are very exciting. HC Kids is expanding and improving. September the 18th will be the launch date of this. If you're interested in serving, we would love for you to connect with that. Many of you signed up, a lot of new people stepping up to serve. Thank you so much for that. But kids ministry during church is going to be expanded through fourth grade. We're very, very excited about that, and it's going to be wonderful. A few things are going to be different that we want you to be aware of, in particular if you have children, is beginning on the 18th. If you have a child, fourth grade and down, whether you show up for Sunday school or whether you show up for church time, all of our check-in for those kids will happen in the front doors of the building next door, which is going to be the place of worship for our HC kids. And so whenever you get here, wherever you park, we want you to eventually come to those front doors. That's where you will check your kids in, and that's where you will check your kids out. And it's going to make things hopefully safer and simpler for everyone, and we're very excited about that. And so we'd love for you to help us by going to the right place and all that kind of good stuff. About our Not Here Yet project, I just want to commend you for your generosity. I want to remind you that we have a goal to see monies given towards this project. There was a portion of it that we wanted to raise, and that money amount was $82,000. We still need $50,417, which means that you have already been incredibly generous. We'd love to raise the rest of this by the end of this month. So if you would consider giving towards that, that would be absolutely wonderful. And thank you already for those of you that have been so generous to give towards that. I want to remind you of vision that we cast during the month of August. It's kind of our fall vision, and so many of you are already participating in this, already praying towards this, and we're going to speak to part of it even this morning. But what we want to encourage you to do and participate in and to pray towards is to invite three people to church every single month. And so last month, many of you did. It was the reason why our attendance was way, way up in the month of August. Thank you for thinking about your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers that don't go to church. And you just taking the time to say, hey, come to church with me at Holland Chapel. And we want to encourage you to do that on a monthly basis. Just think about those three people that God places on your heart and your mind and invite them. And we want to pray towards and share the gospel towards and ask God to bless us to see 30 people be baptized between now and the end of the year. And I think that would just be a wonderful, beautiful thing to see happen. I know you'd agree with that. And then we'd love to see 300 in our HC groups. And we're going to talk in particular about our HC groups this morning, which we're very excited about. And I believe that God is using in a huge, huge way. Now, question for you. How many of you, if you could, you would go back to high school? Friday night, I went to an incredible collision of two cities, Benton and Bryant, in what is known as the Salt Bowl. And I got to tell you, it's my first experience with the Salt Bowl. It's impressive, okay? It's impressive. And it was really neat to be there. And I know what some of you are thinking, and some of you may have even said out loud, well, if I was still in high school and out there on that field, it'd have been a different result. And that was when you had more hair and less belly. Right? Well, I don't know about your high school experience. Mine was positive. I think I can honestly say I was popular and had a good experience, made pretty good grades, and graduated. And so that's good. And so I look back on high school with fond memories. But you know what high school brings with it? High, check it out, high drama. High drama. And if you've been out of high school a long time, you may have forgotten that. But with high school comes a lot of drama. There's this feeling and this need to fit in. It definitely kicks in about junior high. And then by high school, you're trying to figure out your spot and your place. And you're wondering if they like you or if they don't like you or if you can eat here or if you can go there or if you're going to get invited to this or not. It comes with all kinds of drama. Somebody that liked you yesterday doesn't like you today, and lo and behold, the next day, they like you again. And so it's this ongoing drama. Most of us probably got done with high school, and we hoped that this need to fit in and belong would just be done and be gone. But here we are in adult world, and we realize it still exists, this need in us to belong and to connect. So thank God for social media, because now those needs have been met, right? We long for it. We need it. My need to belong and your need to belong and your need to connect to others, my need to connect to others, it's a God-given need. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. And so I don't really think I need to spend any time convincing you that you need other people. But this morning, I want to just encourage you to connect with people that God is putting around you to fill that deep soul longing that's within you. There is definitely one word that I think applies, and that word is church. We see over and over and over in Scripture God declaring the truth that we need each other, and more specifically, that we, His people, need other believers. And so we highly value this beautiful idea called church that Jesus came up with. So what we're experiencing when we call this thing church is not my idea. It wasn't your idea. It wasn't our grandparents' idea. It wasn't our great-grandparents' idea. It was Jesus' idea. And it's a very beautiful thing. And here's one thing I do want you to know. Church is definitely not limited to a Sunday gathering. The idea and this beautiful thing called church that Jesus came up with, started, and has perpetuated for all of these years is more than a getting together with believers on a Sunday to sing some songs and to hear a sermon, even though this is a very important part. It involves following Jesus together with all of our lives. Not just hearing about Jesus on Sunday, but living for Him on Monday and having the encouragement from others to do that very thing. And so He wants us to experience fellowship with other believers. I grew up hearing this word in church as I was very grateful to be raised in church gatherings and around other believers, and I heard this word fellowship over and over. You know what fellowship for me growing up equated to? Getting together with a lot of people and eating. Now, I just want to encourage you to say that is a beautiful, pure version of fellowship. And I believe that. I really, really do. And some of you are really good at making pies, and anytime you want to fellowship, just let me know. I'll be happy to fellowship with you. Food is a beautiful way to fellowship, right? I mean, my wife and I, the first time we got together on a date, we sat down over a meal. There's something about a meal that definitely produces and allows for this thing called fellowship. But fellowship is even greater than that. I'll give you a word picture that maybe will help you a little bit. You may have heard it before. I don't know. It definitely helps me. It's this idea of two fellows in a ship. Okay? Fellowship, y'all catching that? Sharp crowd this morning. Maybe a vacation weekend, but you're on it, aren't you? Two fellows in a ship. Two fellows in a ship. Check this out. Rowing the same direction. Biblical fellowship. Having a common direction, a common purpose, a common hope, and a common belief. Well, I want us to look for a few moments this morning to the book of 1 John. And as you're opening there, and we're going to read there from 1 John chapter 1, I want to take just a moment to explain to you who is writing this particular book of the Bible, this letter that we now have as a part of God's Word. It was written by a guy by the name of John. It's the very same John that you read in the Gospel of John, like John chapter 3, verse 16, that verse, "For God so loved the world." The same John that wrote that is writing again, and we have some letters that he wrote, and we call this one 1 John. Well, he's at a stage in life now where he's an old man. He has lived a long, long time for Jesus. And so he's writing these words down. He's loved Jesus and he's lived for Jesus his entire life at this point to the age of being very, very old. And he's writing, if you read the whole book of 1 John, you realize he's writing to young Christians, people that are just beginning to follow Jesus. And he shares with them his heart. He shares with them his relationship with Jesus. He shares with them his experience with Jesus. He shares with them truth that they need, that we need, and we need to lean into. I don't know about you, but when an older individual who has been following Jesus and living for Jesus wants to share with me about their experience for Jesus, I'll tell you what I do. I listen. A few weeks ago, one of our older members in our church caught me, and they said, "Hey, I want to share with you the verse in the Bible that absolutely changed my life." And I sat there and I just listened as this person just shared about the love of Jesus and how he had changed them. And it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. So what we're about to read is a very old man writing his heart down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to encourage us today. 1 John chapter 1, beginning of verse number 1. He says, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning." So let's pause in verse number 1. He uses this word, "one," to describe somebody. As we continue to read, or if you've read this before, you're going to understand that he's describing to us Jesus. So he says, "Here's who I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about the one. I don't want to talk to you about somebody. I want to talk to you about the one body. I want to talk to you about Jesus." And he says, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we," meaning me and the people that I got to be around many years ago, "we have heard and seen." Think about this for just a moment. John says, "I used to walk and talk and interact with and have conversations with Jesus." And he says, "I want to tell you about the one that's been in existence since the beginning. I want to tell you about the one that I got to walk with and talk with." He says, "We saw him with our own eyes, and we touched him with our own hands." Eyewitness. Eyewitness. A few weeks ago, I made a quick trip to eastern Oklahoma, where my mom and dad and sister still live. It's where I grew up from the age of 10 to 18, and still have a lot of friends there and people that I've known for a long time and people that are very special to me, one of which is my brother-in-law, who is my best friend. My brother-in-law and I became best friends at the age of 10, okay? The age of 10. My sister is about 4 years older than I am, okay? Me and my brother-in-law, same age, 10. We grew up and my best friend married my sister, all right? So my best friend is my brother-in-law. That's kind of cool, right? Well, my best friend, my brother-in-law, I know his family very well, his mom, his dad, his grandparents, and I became very good friends with them. And I got to be very good friends with his grandfather, and his grandfather was a great man who loved Jesus, and obviously he was way on up in his years, and his grandfather was in the Army during World War II. How cool is it to sit down with a man like that and to hear stories like my granddad used to tell me before he died. And I got to attend his funeral the other day. This friend of mine, my brother-in-law's granddad, passed away. And just to be there and to remember all these first-hand stories, not from the history books, but these first-hand stories from this man who had lived it and experienced it. A few days ago, my nephew called me, and he called me because he was doing a report for school. They were supposed to do an interview with someone that had experienced a big happening within our country, and so he called me to interview me because in 1995, I was sitting on a bus about 8 blocks away from the center of Oklahoma City when the bomb went off at the federal building. I was there. I felt it, I heard it, I experienced it. And so my nephew called me to interview me and say, what did you feel? What did you hear? What did you experience? Here we have a guy by the name of John who says, I was there. I talked to Jesus. I walked with Jesus. I touched Jesus. I had fellowship with Jesus. We ate meals together. We rode on boats together. I saw him do miraculous things. I saw Jesus die. Saw Jesus after he had died and he came back from the dead. And he says, let me tell you some things. He says, we saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the Word of life. He is the one that God made visible. Jesus is the one that God made touchable. Jesus is the one that brings the Word of God. Jesus is the one that brings the life of God. Verse 2, this one, Jesus, who is life itself, was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify. We tell you a story. We tell you our eyewitness account, and we proclaim to you that he, Jesus, is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. Verse 3. We proclaim to you, we tell you, that what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. Here's that word fellowship. We're telling you this so that you can have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to get this morning. We have fellowship with each other because of Jesus. I have a connection with you, and you have a connection with me because of Jesus. But it goes further than that. It goes bigger than that. We have fellowship with each other because of Jesus, but we have better fellowship with Jesus because of each other. So the relationship that I have with Jesus actually grows and it heightens and it intensifies because I hang out with other believers. Okay? You push me towards Jesus. You encourage me towards Jesus. Let's just do it for instance. Let's say this morning you were the only one that showed up. I mean, like, I didn't show up. The band didn't show up. The people up there didn't show up. The people over here didn't show up. The people back there didn't show up. Just you. You showed up this morning. Now, hopefully, if only you showed up, hopefully you would have taken the time to say, you know what, this is my appointed time to worship God, and you still would have leaned into worshiping Jesus. But how much better was it to meet with other people this morning and worship Jesus than just by yourself? Amen? For me, I can't sing very well. It would have been really, really ugly. And preaching to yourself is kind of weird. All right? But we got to get together this morning. We got to do it with other believers, and it intensifies and it accelerates our fellowship with Jesus. And so we have relationship with each other because of Jesus, and we have better relationship with Jesus because of each other. And look at verse number 4. He says, we're writing these things. I'm taking the time with my pen as an old man who may not be able to see very well. Maybe my hands are shaking a little bit now. But we're writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. He's like, I've lived a long time. I've seen a lot of stuff. The most important thing I've ever seen, his name is Jesus. He lived, he died, he rose again, and I have joy because of it, and I have fellowship with the Father because of it, and I have fellowship because of other believers because of it, and I have joy because of it, and so I'm writing all of these things down so that you will experience the same joy. Again, we have fellowship with each other because of Jesus. And we have better fellowship with Jesus because of each other. Look now to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I want to show you just a few verses of Scripture that just make this go deeper and make this go further. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse number 20. What an encouragement. For where two or three gather together, Jesus says, where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. Think about this for a moment. Do we have two or three people or more here together in the name of Jesus today? If you're here today because of the name of Jesus, raise your hand, would you? Okay, all right, so where two or three gather as my followers, that's who we are. Look at the truth. I am there among them. Jesus is here this morning. Isn't that incredible that we are ultimately meeting with Jesus this morning? That's what happens in gospel community. That's what happens in church, is we get to meet with Jesus. We get to meet with Jesus. Look at John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 21. John 17, verse 21. Jesus is praying one of the most incredible prayers in John chapter 17, and we're going to pluck part of that prayer and see what Jesus is praying for to the Father. He says, I pray that they, who are they? He says, I pray that my followers, I pray that the people that believe in me, I pray for my people, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I, meaning he and the Father, are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. Back to high school for just a moment. You kind of had a reputation in high school based on who you hung out with, correct? You were identified as to the group or groups that you ran with, played with, partied with, went to church with, skipped church with, whatever you did, you had an identity there because you were a part of a group. And Jesus is saying, listen, if you are a part of me, then you're one with me, and therefore because of my name and the greatness of it and the power of it, I want to make you one, and as your eyes collectively are not on each other, and oh, how easy that is to do, is it not? To get my eyes on people and what they do or what they don't do or what they wear or what they don't wear or how they do their hair or whether they shave or not. That was a little inside joke there for some of you. Anyway, y'all can laugh in church. It's okay every now and then, all right? By the way, only one vote matters. She's sitting right there, okay? So thought that was going to go way funnier this morning. It's really not going over as well as what I thought it would. All right, I'm going to forget the jokes. Get back to it. All right, so you understand what I'm saying, right? It's so easy to get distracted with people. And Jesus says, man, I just pray for my people that they'll be so focused on me, what I want, who I am, what I have done, what I have accomplished, what I have done in them. I mean, think about what Jesus has done for you if you're a believer. Think about it for just a moment. Think about all the sin and all the shame and all the ugliness that Jesus has cleansed you and forgiven you. And all of God's people said, amen, glory to God, my goodness, God, you're great. Amen? Oh. And as they focus on me and how I died for their sins, Father, and how I didn't stay dead, but I triumphed over death, hell, and the grave, and they just can't get over that, and they become one in me because of their focus on me, I believe that the whole world is going to realize who I am and who they are because they identify with me. And so as I get my eyes on Jesus and you get your eyes on Jesus, guess what the world sees? Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. It's the purpose of the church is to get our eyes on Jesus so that the whole world sees Jesus. Church doesn't change people's lives. Jesus changes people's lives. And God wants to use the church to point to Jesus. So we get to be a part of that change. We get to be engaged in that change. But it's our eyes being on Jesus that reveals to the world. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. Galatians chapter 6. Man, Galatians chapter 6. Anybody else think life is hard besides me? And I don't know what you got going on. I mean, like right now, for me, I'd say life is challenging, but nothing terrible is happening in our lives right now. And so I stand up here before you, and I can't top your story, because I know some of you are listening to me, and your story right now would just cause us all to crumble. And I don't know what you've got going on. Some of you I do, because you've shared with me your burdens, you've shared with me your story, you've shared with me your struggles, you've shared with me maybe a health problem in your life or in one of your family members. Some of you have suffered loss of loved ones recently. Some of you are going through things in your family that are extremely hard and difficult. Some of you in this room are facing financial challenges that are overwhelming and just probably just leaving you feeling deflated and defeated possibly. And maybe you've just got something that you hadn't even been able to share with anybody yet. This is where gospel community, this is where the church comes in. Look at Galatians chapter 6, beginning verse number 2. It says, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. So what does God want me to do? Well, one thing here he wants me to do is to come alongside other believers and share their burdens. To not leave them alone, to not let them suffer alone, to cry with those who cry, and to celebrate with those who celebrate, to share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Verse 3, if you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling who? You don't have to laugh at my jokes, but when it's written down on the screen, come on. You're only fooling who? Yourself. You're not that important. Oh, man. Wow. Boop, boop, boop. All right? Did he say you're not important? No. You're not that important. But guess how important you are? You're important enough to Jesus that he puts other people around you to share your burdens. You're that important to Jesus. You're so important to Jesus that he suffered and he bled and he died for your sufferings and for your shame. And so my job as a believer is to share the burdens of others, and your job as a believer is to share the burdens of others, and together we share them together. And there's this beautiful thing that happens when you do things together. You go faster, further. You're able to keep going when you thought you couldn't keep going at all. When someone comes along and takes up part of your burden and part of your load. So this idea of church, this idea of gospel community, it's necessary for us to fulfill following Jesus. We don't do it alone. In a few moments, I'm really going to just lean into this idea of sharing in life together outside of the Sunday gathering. And many of you do this, and I want to commend you how you've just been able to grasp how the Scripture teaches that church, how that following Jesus is not just something you do on a Sunday, but it's something you do with every day of your life. And if you have decided to live for Jesus every day of your life, you've also realized that it's going to take other people around you encouraging you, speaking into you, praying for you, pushing you, and encouraging you. And so many of you in this room have figured that out, and you're doing it. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And if you haven't figured that out yet, man, I want to encourage you to know that that's God's plan and God's design for you. And we just have to do it together. But this idea of stepping over the line, if you will, from a crowd into which we can come and we can sit and we can sing and we can enjoy and we can hear and we can listen and we can go home, to step across the line into a community to say, here I am, all of me, just overwhelms some of you. Some of you, it may be a personality thing. Some of you, it may be just this fear of actually being known. But let me encourage you just a little bit and just let you know that if you think that other people are potentially going to let you down if you enter into their world, let me be more specific. If you fear entering into a sincere connection with other believers, that other believers may let you down, let me just go and tell you, we will. Okay? I'm just going to tell you, other believers will let you down. You know why? Because I'm imperfect. This section over here, y'all are imperfect. That section back there is imperfect. There might be a little section over here that is perfect, but I don't know who you are. But anyway, up there, imperfect. Over here, imperfect. And guess what my imperfection demands? It demands for me to have help. You see, God doesn't need us. Why? Because he's perfect. He is perfectly sufficient on his own. And yet God in his perfection and his love and his grace decides, you know what? I don't need you, but I want you. He creates us. He understands this incredible need that we have for him. He also understands this incredible need that we have for each other, even though sometimes each other might let us down. But guess what we get to do? If we do that with our eyes on Jesus, even when someone who is a believer lets us down, guess what we get to do? We get to experience true Christianity. We get to experience grace. We get to experience God bringing us back together again. And that's what happens over and over and over through the love and through the gospel of Jesus. You see, the gospel of Jesus is supposed to impact every area of our lives, not just where we will go for eternity. It's supposed to affect our homes. It's supposed to affect our marriages. It's supposed to affect our parenting. It's supposed to affect our friendships. It's supposed to affect our relationships. It's supposed to affect our jobs. It's supposed to affect our relationships with other believers. The gospel, dealing with others the way Jesus deals with us. I don't know about you, but Jesus deals with me with a lot of grace. And you know what I'm figuring out? If I'm going to do life with other people, and they're going to do life with me, it's going to take a lot of grace. And grace is a beautiful, beautiful thing. If your marriage is going to make it, guess what it's going to take a lot of? Perfect person? Anybody here married to a perfect person? Anybody? 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 Oh, that was a gimme right there. Oh, yeah. Way to go. Way to go. A lot of grace, right? Especially towards those people that raised their hand, right? They just said, I need a lot of grace. That's what that said right there. Grace. Parenting, does that take a lot of grace? If your kids are still alive, you've shown a lot of grace. Amen? I love my kids, but they drive me nuts. Push me to the brink sometimes. And God says, I gave you grace, right? Other Christians, they can drive me crazy sometimes. They can drive you crazy. And if you hang around with me, I'll drive you crazy too. And guess what we require of each other? The grace that God has given us. The grace that God has given us. Well, there's a beautiful way that I believe that our church has available for you to start experiencing this, maybe on a deeper level than before if you haven't already. Some of you are like, I'm all in. I know what you're about to talk about, and it's great. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to kick back off our HC groups. And what our HC groups look like are a small group of people, 10 to 12 adults getting together and encouraging each other in the Word of God and eating together and doing life together. So for just a moment, let me share with you some things that these groups are not, okay? Because some of you may say, this sounds kind of weird. Let me tell you some things that these groups are not. Number one, HC groups are not therapy, all right? They're not therapy. Here's what happens when you have therapy sessions. Or therapy groups. When you have therapy groups, you have a group that centers on a particular problem. And so to keep that alive and to keep that going, everybody has to keep their problem. Okay? So what we have are not therapy groups. We have gospel community groups in which our focus is not necessarily on our problem. Our focus is on Jesus and on the gospel. And we have this ongoing and growing need for and experience of the gospel that can grow and continue and be a beautiful, beautiful thing as God transforms us. Another thing that HC groups are not, they're not a network. They're not a network. A network would be likened unto that, like of a chamber of commerce. You know, you meet and you hobnob. All right, that's cool. That's great. If you're part of the chamber, that's good. That's the place for that. But that's not what groups are for. That's not what they're for at all. They're formed for being real together. Not just revealing our strengths, but also being okay with our weaknesses. Okay? Also being okay with our weaknesses. And being able to serve together and to encourage one another and to distribute grace as we desperately need. Another thing that HC groups are not, they're not a program. They're not a program. Programs are systems that are designed to help people. But when a group of humans come together around the name of Jesus, something greater than a group of humans is happening there. When a group of people get together around the name of Jesus, guess what you have? You have the body of Christ. You have the church. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Another thing that HC groups are not, they're not exclusively Christian. Now, this one scares some people, especially if you've been a Christian for a long time. They're not exclusively Christian. In other words, man, if you want to invite your friend, your neighbor, your relative that doesn't know Jesus yet, we're like, yes, please do. All right? Are they going to say things that we don't agree with according to Scripture? Absolutely. Are they going to answer questions the wrong way? Absolutely. Guess what? That's okay. It's okay for people to tell us where they really are. If we as God's people don't create environments where people can be honest about what they do believe or don't believe, guess what? We never create an environment where we can honestly and grace-filled way tell them what we believe. Because guess what we're going to do as God's people and as God's church? We're going to listen, and then here's what we're going to do. We're going to run to Scripture. We're going to keep running to Scripture over and over again. And I believe that the Scripture of God is powerful and it's mighty, and I believe that it can convince people of the truth of God. It's absolutely a beautiful thing. Now, I just want to say that I think it's been really neat for me in the short time I've been here to watch you, the people of God, live this out. Man, you guys just, you get it. You see your lost family, your lost friend, your lost neighbors, and you're figuring out ways to connect with them and share the gospel with them. You're inviting them to church. You're inviting them over for a meal. Some of you have just gone the extra mile and done some wild and bizarre things to be able to connect to, serve, and love those who are lost. Some of you are fostering kids, and it's because God's given you a heart for souls, and you've brought kids into your home day and night, and your purpose is to love them and to share the gospel with them, and it's absolutely a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's this idea of living like Jesus so that others can know Him. So in a couple weeks, we're going to kick off again our HC groups. A couple more things I'll say about that. They're not a place where you have to talk. So if you're nervous, like, what am I going to say when I get there? You don't have to necessarily talk, but they are a place where you can if you want to. They're not a place where you have to bear the secrets of your soul, but I do believe they're a place where you're going to be able to build solid friendships and relationships, fellowship. They're definitely not a place where you have to have all the right answers. Anybody in here have all the right answers? I'm asking a lot of questions today, right? And I quit with the questions. It's like a weekend of relaxation. Neither do I. People talk to me and they think I know everything about the Bible. I'll just go ahead and give you a hint. I don't. I still have a lot of questions. But I run to Jesus because in Him I find my answers. And we're going to do that together through our groups. So groups are just people that are going to do their best to keep their eyes on Jesus We're going to talk about the Bible a lot. What we talk about on Sundays will be talked about in a deeper way on Sunday nights during our groups. I think that God's used and is using our groups to connect people to our church and most importantly to Jesus. Friendships and fellowship are happening. Spiritual growth and discipleship are happening, and we want to foster that. We want to see you be a part of an HC group. If you're here this morning, you're hearing what I'm saying, you're invited. We want you to be a part. On the back side of your communication card, there's a place where you can say, I want to be a part of an HC group. If you will simply put your information on the front, mark that on the back, we are going to spend time helping you get connected to a group, which you can build friendships and experience this fellowship that we've talked about and allow God to use it in an incredible way in your life. A couple of next steps that are also on the backside of your communication card that we want you to consider and that I want to give to you right now. Maybe your next step this morning is you're hearing about Jesus. You're hearing about this old man named John tell his story about Jesus. You're like, you know what? I want to enter into fellowship with Jesus. Maybe you're like, I don't have that. Like, I want Jesus. I want to experience this forgiveness that you've talked about. I want to experience rightness with God. I want to be one with one another, but I've never placed my faith in Christ. I have never come to the place where I've said, you, Jesus, are Lord. You, Jesus, are Savior. You lived, you suffered, you died for my sin and for my shame. And I want to confess all that to you, and I want to believe in you and become yours today. Guess what? He can do that in your life today. You want to know how I know that? He did that for me, and he did that for a lot of people in this room, and we believe that if he can do that for us, he can do that for you, and so we want to invite you into a relationship with Jesus. If you need some encouragement, if you need a conversation about that, if you want to respond to that this morning, I just want you to know that myself, our other pastors, there's a lot of the people here as well that would love to have a conversation with you. Just connect with us. There'll be some of us down front. There'll be some of us in the back on your way out this morning. Man, we'd love to share Jesus with you. You want to give us a call and go to lunch? Man, we'd love to go to lunch and share Jesus with you because he can change your life forever. And maybe for you, you just want to enter in to fellowship with others. You're like, you know what? I need that. I'm kind of doing life by myself right now. I'm here and I see a lot of people, but I'm not connected to them, and I want to be connected to some people that are trying to follow Jesus too. Man, take that step. Be courageous. Be bold and say, you know what? I'll get with another group of believers on a weekly basis. Get in their home. Have some good food. Get in the Word of God. Get to know each other and experience this thing called life following Jesus together, and do that through HC groups. That would just absolutely thrill us. I want to pray. Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you for your word. You're so wise in creating us just the way you did, in giving us everything we need through Jesus. And through Jesus, you've given us other people. And Father, I pray that today we would experience and want and receive everything you have for us. Father, we ask that you would just touch any heart, any soul that's here that has never received Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they don't have that fellowship with you. We pray for them to place their faith in you so their life can forever be changed. That is our heart's cry. That is our desperate plea to you, O God, is that people who are not one with you would become one with you through Jesus. And Father, we pray for those who are believers, that they would just get connected with other believers and experience a life of grace together, learning and growing and loving and forgiving and moving forward together for your glory. God, I pray that people would just be willing to say, you know what, I will connect with an HC group. Maybe they don't even know hardly anybody yet, but they just understand that in doing that, they're going to get connected with some incredible people. They're going to get in the Word of God, and they're going to experience your presence at a deeper level. We want that. We want to see you do mighty things through our groups over the next few months, oh God. And Father, we love you. We thank you for giving us this opportunity this morning of being together. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.